I want to welcome you to the call. This is part of our Robert Schuller Ministries, our church with no walls, and Donna and I look forward to this time every month where we can get together on the phone, we can read the Bible, we can pray together, we can listen to interesting guests who just have fantastic information for us, and we can answer questions and we can talk together. We're here to give mid-month encouragement to help you get through whatever challenges you're facing.
And good evening. This is Donna Schuller. Thanks again for joining Robert and I on the call, a monthly telephone gathering held on the 15th of each month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Robert and I had a fun afternoon. We just left a birthday party early. We left it about a half an hour early. Our youngest grandson was 2 today, so we were at a nearby park and said, we got to leave at 5:30. So our daughter was nice enough to light the birthday candles and blow out the cake a little bit early for us. So we got here in plenty of time. And anyway, we're so happy to be with you again tonight. We've been doing this call since November of 2012. So that's almost 4 years. It's hard to believe that many years has gone by. It seems like just yesterday. But we've been doing this every month on the 15th of the month. And for those of you that know us, you know that we travel a lot, but that doesn't stop us. So it doesn't matter where we are in the world. If it's 6 p.m. Pacific time, we get on this call.
The only thing that could stop us would be if we're on a plane.
Yep.
And we just make sure we're not on a plane.
Exactly. That wouldn't work too well.
Exactly.
So at the end of tonight, not at the end, but somehow, at some time when the timing's right during our call and after we talk to our interview guests in a little bit and all, we have a time of questions and answers. So if you want to jot down some notes, you have time to go get a piece of paper and a pen. And at the appropriate time, you just push *6 on whatever telephone you are calling from. And if you want to ask a question of our guest or of Robert or I, we promise we'll get to you as soon as we can. So hopefully you'll be writing down in some notes and have lots of questions because it makes it a little more interesting when it's interactive.
Yeah, we definitely like this to be interactive. We want you to call in, and we want to be able to talk with you. We want to make this an interactive experience. We're going to have a prayer in a moment, but I've got to tell you, we were at the party, and I had completely lost track of time, and Donna comes up to me and says, oh, we've got to go. We've got to get to our call. I look down at my watch, and it's 5:35, and I'm going, holy mackerel, we've got to go. But we rolled in here 10 minutes, well, for us, and it has. So God is good. We've had a wonderful day. I was in the Shepherd's Grove this morning. And my son interviewed me, and that'll be aired, I believe, on Father's Day. And so anyway, we're going to have a moment of prayer, and we're gonna do that right now, and then Don's going to read some scriptures. So why don't you, wherever you are, you can join me in prayer. And if you're driving a car right now, do not close your eyes. Keep them open. And God does not require us to have our eyes closed when we pray. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God of grace and mercy, a God of love and a God of peace. You're a God who loves us and a God who wants the best for us. And so, Lord, as we humbly come before you now, we witness the fact that you have created everything there is, that everything we see is a gift from you. And so we thank you for everything. We thank you for the opportunities we have, for the challenges that we face. We thank you for the struggles and for the success. We thank you for everything. And so, Lord, give us an open mind to be able to see the beauty that is in all things that you have created. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name, always and forever. Amen.
Amen.
So, do you want to read the scripture right now, Donna?
Sure. We'd love to do that. Let's see.
John 3,
selected verses. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one cannot see the kingdom of God. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and you don't even understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of these earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And we know that God will continue to bless the reading of his holy words.
Thank you, Don. Yeah, John 3 is one of my favorite verses. Nicodemus and the discourse that Jesus had with him, and of course ending up with the most famous of Bible verses. I don't know if it's the most famous, but one of the more famous Bible verses, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And that verse has been the cornerstone of Christianity for as long as I can remember. And my guess is it's been that way for centuries. But I want to, before I talk more about that, I want to talk a little bit about what I was talking about at Shepherd's Grove today. Because my son, like I said, interviewed me, and one of the things I was telling him about was one of the projects that Donna and I are very excited about. If you haven't had a chance to see our website, we have a new page on our website called SchulerHelp.com, and you can get there through Robert Schuler Ministries, or just go to SchulerHelp.com or .org. They both go the same way. We've got both of them. And what that is that SchulerHelp.org is there to help us make a difference in the epidemic that's taking place in our society today. We've been talking about this for a while. For the last couple months, Don and I have been talking about it. I think we started with an interview with Anthony's son, Anthony's friend. What's his name again? Calvin, his addiction to heroin and how he finally broke through that. He had to go to treatment 8 times before he finally figured it out, and by the grace of God, he didn't kill himself in the process. The amount of death, the death rate by overdose has just skyrocketed. I think everybody understands the seriousness. You can't help but see it when you look at Prince. Prince died of an opioid overdose. We could talk about 100 other famous people who have died from this, and the death rate today is the number one cause exceeding auto accidents is overdose by heroin and other drugs. So it's reached epidemic proportions, and as a result of that, Don and I are doing everything we can to help people get into recovery. And if you know of anybody who needs help, have them go to SchulerHelp.org or .com, SchulerHelp, and there's a phone number on that. And on that phone number, you can call that phone number, and we will work with you, and we will do everything possible to get you in recovery. Don't let excuses like, I don't have insurance, I don't have money, I don't have the ability to do that. Don't allow those negative thoughts to prevent you from calling the number. There are ways around that, and we can do something, and that's what Schuler Help is all about, is helping you navigate through these negative things that could prevent you from getting the help you need, and we will do everything possible to help you.
Yeah, it just might save your life. That's your life depends on it, or a loved one. If you have a loved one, a son, daughter, nephew, niece, grandson, granddaughter, or maybe your best friend. I don't know if you know anybody.
In the year 2012, Donna and I can count five people that we personally knew that were good friends of ours who OD'd.
Well, yeah, either their child or their grandchild.
We
knew firsthand five families in the year 2012. Between 2012 2013, either a couple of them were their kids of our good friends, and a couple of them were grandkids, and it was just shocking. And that was 4 years ago, and it's gotten worse since then. So, you know, it's hit us personally, and it's probably hit many of you personally. And it's not something that's going away soon. It's, you know, we read in Matthew 9, verse 37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So, you know, if this was an easy thing to do, to try to take drug addicts off the street, then everybody would do it. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy at all. First of all, people need to want the help, but we feel really called to do this. So we appreciate your prayers. And if you feel called to make a donation, you know, later when we take our offering, any of that would be appreciated.
Well, here's some facts that are to share how large a crisis this is. Between the years 2013 and 2014, drug overdose rose 18.3% between 2013 and 2014. In the last 12 years, there's been a 750% increase in newborns addicted to opioids. Is that sad or what? A 750% increase in the last 12 years. So it is a very, very serious thing that we need to address. And I know that what Don and I are doing is a very small thing compared to the size of the problem. But whatever we can do, we're going to do, because I'd rather do something, and even if it's small, than to do nothing.
Yeah, I'm looking at our bronze of Jesus and the lost sheep that's, you know, that's sort of laying across his shoulders, and he's got his shepherd's staff, right? He left the flock to go after the one.
Absolutely.
So if we can help one person, if we can save one person and get them well and get them introduced to the love of Jesus Christ so they can stay well, that's important, and that's what we're going to be talking about with our guests in a little bit. That's our role.
Yeah, the lost sheep, the lost coin, they're all the same. It's how much Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he'll do anything to reach out and to save us and to save the lost. And if you've become addicted to opioids, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's it's something I consider you a victim of the system. Because if you had surgery, chances are you were given opioid prescription, and if you're addicted to it, it's because your doctor gave you too many days of that prescription and didn't wean you off, and as a result of that, that's why you become addicted, and then to break away from that is very difficult, and can and may require help, and that's why we have Shuler Help, and that's why it's there, and that's why we've developed it. So,
and I had somebody ask me recently, Robert, about other problems, other addictions, so such as alcohol, or, you know, there's a number of addictions, of course, but could we help them there? And the answer is absolutely. If you want to call us or email us, it's Robert@SchulerMinistries.org or Donna@SchulerMinistries.org, and let us know what it is you need help with specifically. We can try to help you. And also, there's a good chance
that we can.
Yes, and typically people that are addicted to drugs or psychological problems, sometimes psychiatric problems they need help with. So we are equipped to refer you out to to try to find the best possible help for your individual or your loved one's individual case. So just know that, that even though we're focusing on opioids and we're talking about that, there's a huge problem of addiction of all kinds of things in our society. You know, we were talking today about somebody that's addicted to being, a fake person, their avatar online with their cell phone, and how they don't even live in today's world because they're so addicted to the false person that they are online that they'd rather live in that fantasy world than live in reality and deal with some of the issues that they're facing in reality. So that's an addiction. And there's an actual whole different set of psychologists that deal with that particular issue. But there's all kinds of bad things. You know, people, Bobby was talking about pain and stress today in church, and people use all kinds of ways. They think it's going to eliminate their pain, and it does temporarily, but then it just boomerangs and they get worse and worse and worse. So, you know, you can do all kinds of things to cover up your pain because we all suffer in life. We all have stress. We all go through things, but the idea is to face your problems drug and alcohol free and to get through them, and you in turn will become a stronger person and with a better testimony because of it. So if, you know, I'm sure people listening to us tonight, everybody's been through something.
The illustration that Bobby used was perfect. Mm-hmm. It was a great illustration.
He says
someone's wheeled into the emergency room, mm-hmm. and there's blood all over the place, and they've got exterior injuries, and you can see this gross, this severe injuries. And then somebody's wheeled into the emergency room, and there's no blood showing at all, but yet they're bleeding internally. Mm-hmm. And the doctors in the emergency room will always tell you, that the one who's bleeding internally is far more critical than the one who's bleeding externally.
Mm-hmm.
They can see what's going on, they can fix it, and it can get corrected. The one that's bleeding internally, they have no idea what's going on. They don't know where to begin, and it's far more serious, and the blood can drown different parts of the organs, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that illustration is so perfect for us to be able to realize that when we have pain, if we internalize them as opposed to share them out. And I love what he said, how he deals with that with his family and his kids, in that every night they say, so what was the worst part of your day? And then what was the best part of your day? And they just hug each other and they have an opportunity to talk about that and deal with that,
mm-hmm.
to let it all out and to seek healing and health and wellness. So I just think that's a beautiful way to look at this. So Jesus and Nicodemus. Wow, what a beautiful story that is. You must be born again. Talking about internal injuries. You know, that's basically what Jesus was addressing. He's addressing the internal the feelings of insignificance, of inefficiency, of trying to accomplish things on our own. Living by the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. Living in the material world instead of the spiritual world. And so in this discourse with Nicodemus, Jesus says you must be born again of the spirit. Not physically go into the womb again and be born, but be born spiritually renewed. And referring, of course, to the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And that's the beautiful message that Jesus had with Nicodemus, that Jesus has with every single one of us, that he loves us, that he cares for us. He knows the pain you have. He knows your shortcomings. He knows you've tried. He knows you've failed. He knows you'll try some more. He knows you'll fail some more. And in spite of all of that, he loves you just the way you are. And that if you come to him with your sin exposed, with your shortcomings exposed, he has his arms open wide to embrace you with his love and to just help you feel the presence and the love of him and feel his love. And that's what that scripture is all about. And that's what's so hard for us to deal with and to learn.
Exactly. Well, we're going to, in just a minute here, we're going to introduce our guest this evening. Before I do, I just want to remind you, if you haven't already signed up for our newsletter, make sure you go to our website at robertschulerministries.org. And on the right-hand side, you can see where you enter your email address and you sign up. It's really easy. An email confirmation will be sent to your inbox, and you just have to say, yes, I definitely want this. Then you'll receive your digital newsletter only 3 or 4 times a year. So don't worry. This isn't going. You're not going to have a barrage of emails every day in your inbox. It's 3 or 4 times a year. That's it. And you can keep abreast of what we're doing. It'll give you, like, links to our podcast, which this call tonight will be up on by tomorrow morning, and it'll tell you about our international missions. It'll tell you a little bit about everything, and you can read it or you can skim it or whatever. Our spring newsletter just came out, and if you'd like a copy, again, please just go to the website and sign up, robertschulerministries.org.
So we have to have your email to send that to you.
Yeah,
so.
There's a place on the right. There's a big box on the right-hand side of the home screen. It says email address. You just put your email address in there and click send.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's why you need to go in there and give us your
right.
email address. And once we have it, then we'll send it to you quarterly, and you won't have to go there and sign in every quarter to get the newsletter.
No, it just comes.
Just once, and
mm-hmm.
then it'll come to you. And if you don't like it, hey, just exit out or let us know
exactly.
or unsubscribe. And,
right.
And so it's real easy that way.
Exactly. So I have a very interesting guest this evening. You know, we have a very broad ministry. We serve people all over the U.S. and globally. We still travel a lot globally. And like I said, we do this call on the 15th of every month. And at the end of the call, I'll say it again tonight, if you have anybody that you want to recommend as a future guest, please let us know and we'll do our best to get them on. So I had a man reach out to me via Facebook and say, hey, I'm really, really excited about what you're doing with, the drug and alcohol recovery and Schuler Help, and maybe I can be of assistance to you because he has a background in this, and I'll read you a little bit about him. But so I contacted him back, and I said, yeah, how'd you like to be our guest? I asked him to be our guest last month, and he was busy speaking. He's a speaker. That's one of the things he does, and he said, but I can do it next month. So I want to tell you a little bit about our guest. He's 50 years old. His parents were divorced when he was just 3 years old, and he went to live with his grandmother and until he was 11. He saw his father every once in a while, but less as time went on, and his mother only a few times within years apart with little or no contact with his mom's. So he was with his grandmother and great-grandmother. This all brought up really deep wounds, obviously. He was deeply wounded as a very young child, and it led to him wanting acceptance through alcohol and drugs as he sought to fit in and to be accepted when he got older in his teen years. And he found out early on, about 5 or 6 years old, that he had a gift for music and a deep love for it. So at 17 years old, he began using drugs on a daily basis, and he was playing in a rock band at night. And unfortunately, he became addicted, and he started having a hard time keeping his job, and he was using drugs at that point and drinking every day. He also had become well-known in Hollywood and also in Japan as a talented rock singer after he recorded in Hollywood, and it was released in Japan as well. He started getting a lot of attention in well-known bands, and he was singing for them, and in 1992, he was asked to audition for an up-and-coming, well-known guitarist who went on to play for Ozzy Osbourne for many years. He then said he you know, instead of accepting that and leaving, he accepted a call from God at that time, and he actually left the music business behind to get sober and to be delivered and to find his call in the ministry. And it took him 6 years of it, and out, in and out of rehab and jail, and then he finally surrendered and gave everything to God before he almost died from numerous overdoses. And now today he has almost 18 years of complete sobriety. He's gone on to become a Christian evangelist and has been speaking for 15 years now in East Los Angeles and Orange County at different churches and jails. And this is really amazing. He's also currently working in a privately owned rehab center in Costa Mesa, which is right up the street from us. And, you know, he's just preaching about Jesus and encouraging people to follow Jesus. And he walks in victory and healing every single day. And we have invited him on. We've invited Dean, is his name, Dean Cohn, and we've invited him on to tell us a little more detail about his story of recovery and just how he found Jesus and how important Jesus is in recovery and staying sober. And he's also going to tell us how many times he went in and out of treatment. I know that, but I'm going to let him explain it. Dean, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Hi, Dean. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Dean. Good to have you on the show with us tonight.
Thanks so much, Robert and Donna. I appreciate it. It's a great honor.
A funny thing happened while Donna was introducing you tonight.
Yeah, did you hear it?
You might have heard it. I don't know, but I bought her an Apple Watch for Mother's Day because she's the best mother in the world, and that's what she wanted for Mother's Day. So I've got her a good deal on one on eBay so she's wearing it and just had it a couple of days that she's been used to it. All of a sudden, her watch starts ringing.
We put
our phones away, but we never expect
a
watch.
My watch
to start
is ringing, and I have it down real low, but I can't hear it. I'm sure the listeners heard it. I'm like, oh my gosh, and I'm trying to cover it up and trying to hide it and everything else. It was very distracting as I was reading your bio, so forgive me, everybody, but this is a new toy, and it's very cool, but I'm like Maxwell Smart on, you know, Get Smart. You know, hello, Maxwell here, Agent 99 to Agent 86, you know, whatever, Agent 86. Yeah, it was him.
Yeah, the scary thing about that is you have to be old enough to remember him.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I do.
You probably remember him, right?
I do. I sure do, yeah.
Good. Thank you. Phew. Phew. Okay, save me. Anyway,
I was looking to the sky. I wasn't sure if that was the trumpet or so I was ready.
Yep, yep. It was the calling coming home.
Yeah. So now I learned next month I won't wear my watch.
Exactly. Yeah, go put it out in the bedroom. We won't hear it. It can ring all you want.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's funny. So Dean, tell me about your music. What kind of music did you play when you first started playing music?
I was really into hard rock. I grew up, you know, listening to hard rock as a young kid. And so when I became a teenager, you know, I started getting into like AC/DC, Cheap Trick, you know, kind of the popular stuff that we were hearing on the radio back then, like KLOS and different other radio stations that are well known. And so, you know, like any other kid, I kind of had this dream. And I started mimicking it, and I was getting some good feedback from people. So I thought, hey, you know, maybe there's something to this, because almost kind of like the call that, you know, from God, we can trace it back, you know, even before we met him, he was already with us, beginning to, you know, prepare us. You know, at a young age, a lot of kids were out playing when I was 6, 7, 8 years old. And I'd be in on the old console record player spinning 33s and 45s and listening to music and singing along and pretending like it was me. So I had a big passion for it at a young age, but I got into the heavy metal, hair metal in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So well, it sounds like that might have been a good escape for you, too, because of what you were going through in your home. I would imagine
yes.
that was probably you probably found some solace in that, right? in your talent.
Absolutely.
And your love of music.
Absolutely. It was kind of like a free escape now that you mention it.
Yeah,
and,
sounds like it.
So, you know, and then when I found out, I guess, I, you know, other people said that I was any good at it, of course, it made me even more confident to want to pursue it. You know, it's almost really, it's a medication. I hid behind it. Once I, you know, started singing in bands, it became a drug to me, and it gave me a sense of identity that I didn't have, a false identity, of course. So, yeah, the hair metal, I was one of those hair metal guys in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't
Sponsored
understand.
Sponsored by Aquaman.
Yeah. Wow. But so did you have any Christian experience as you were growing up as a child?
You know, funny thing, my grandmother and my great-grandmother were both Christians. They would sing the old good hymns, you know, the old Rugged Cross, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We'd watch things on TV back then. We lived next door to a Southern Baptist church, so it was in their home. So we would go to church, and so I came to know the Lord at a young age. But then we stopped going. There were some family issues with our family, and we stopped going probably after a couple of years. So I think I went to church from, let's say, I was around 6, probably till 8. And not after that, until the Lord began to call me at 25 years old.
So explain your – talk about how – what was your bottom? There's usually a bottom where somebody almost dies, or they have their – or some experience. And for some people, the bottom isn't that deep. For others, it's really, really deep. Explain what your bottom was.
Yeah, I was very stubborn.
So it was
I
deep.
Should have died. Yeah, Robert. I really should have died. I mean, it, you know, I love God so much because I reminisce and think of the times, and I said times, not time, but times that I should have died, and I know it. And he basically held me by my collar, and I felt like I was literally going into, you know, the afterlife, into darkness. And, you know, he was just holding on to me, trying to get me to surrender. So to give you more of a technical answer, many times I started overdosing on speed, which is a lot harder than it is like heroin or opioids. But, you know, I was doing a lot more than everybody around me because, you know, I wanted more attention. You know, probably the deep hurts inside, you know, we over-medicate. I should have died. And I was able to stay sober a week after that. Then my son's mom left me when she said, I'm not going to watch you kill yourself. So that was kind of a bottom, but then I went back to it, you know, testing it, kind of thinking, man, I can beat this thing. And, you know, I was always really good at most things that I did. When I was a kid, I had favor, so I couldn't wrap my head around addiction at that point, even though it should have killed me already by then. Fast forward, I was staying up for a week at a time, Robert and Donna, and so I would go into psychosis. And, I mean, it was just so unbelievable, the things that I would hear and see and think. And then I found out that, you know, you pretty much, when you stay up for that long and you're using drugs, it's pretty much sorcery. So you're kind of having fellowship with spirits, unclean spirits, if you will. So I really began to just about lose my mind. And God just kept hearing that small, still voice, you know, saying, look, I love you. I have a plan for you. You know, just, you know, surrender, you know. And I was so ready to, you know, make a name for myself in the music business and wanted to be a, you know, a world-renowned rock singer. You know, it's that identity thing. It's, I wanted to be known so I could finally say, I am somebody. But it's the staying up for weeks at a time that was my bottom. And I literally came to the point where I knew I was going to die if I didn't get help. and, you know, get off the drugs.
So how did you find your help?
Well, it was very, it was very supernatural. My old guitar player, I left the band, and they all got saved. They all became Christians. So they were kind of, you know, witnessing to me, and I'm kind of like, well, you know, my life's.
Well, so you went after.
That's correct.
How odd that is.
Isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, he's gone. We can become Christians now. No.
Yeah.
It was all part of God's plan, obviously.
Of course it is. But it's sure interesting to listen to how God works.
Oh, it's like a mosaic.
Yeah.
So the guitar player, I became close to him, and he was reaching out to me. He took me to Calvary, Costa Mesa. I listened to Greg Laurie on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. Great gospel message. And but, you know, I was too stubborn. I didn't want to make the altar call, or I didn't want to say the sinner's prayer. I felt, you know, I already knew Jesus from being a kid, and, you know, but I was being very stubborn, of course. So that was where it began to kind of tug at my heart. But to fast forward, because it's, you
and
know,
we,
I
and
can
how old
hours.
Were you then? How old were you at that?
Let's see. At that point, I was probably about 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a few years before I really hit bottom. I fought tooth and nail. God is so patient and let me basically kill myself numerous times, where he just, you know, kept me alive, basically. And I'm just so grateful for that. So fast forwarding, when I came to the place where things begin to get very demonic, you know, where I started saying, whoa, man, there's really something going on around me, that I had a feeling that, you know, something bad was going to happen, you know. So I called him up, went to his house. He was having a Bible study, so we went to the house. We had a Bible study. Him and the host prayed for me. And then basically, you know, all my money was tied up in the music business. I had spent all my money on drugs and the lifestyle. So they opened up the good old Yellow Pages book, not internet. This is back, you know, 92.
Yeah, sure. No internet, right. Good
and,
old Yellow Pages.
Right. And found a nonprofit ministry and, you know, called them up and said, hey, I got an old band member here that's a good friend. And, you know, he's really, really at the door of death. And there's some spiritual stuff, too, going on in his life. He's afraid and he needs help. They said, yeah, we have a rehab. The church pays for it. Go ahead and bring him in, and we'll get him set up. It's a year program. Make sure he wants to stay for a year.
Oh, cool.
And surrender his life and, you know, to live in 24/7. And so I was ready. I was ready.
Yeah, and that was the last time, and that was the time that worked for you?
Oh, no, that was the beginning of my...
That was the beginning.
Of my rehab. Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Then
okay,
I had
okay.
6 years in and out of rehab.
Okay, thank you.
So how long did you stay in that rehab program? Did you stay for a year?
I stayed 6 months, Robert.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
6 months, and I left against, you know, the advice of my leaders. I began to think I had
They knew you weren't ready.
And, mm-hmm. And, of course, I thought I was, and I didn't make it, gosh, I think, not even 2 weeks. I don't think I stayed sober.
Wow. Wow.
Well, you know, I've heard this story over and over again where people think they're ready and they're not, and they go in and out of treatment 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times before they finally figure it out. But it's if you look at the odds of getting through the first time are less than 20%. So, So you almost have to go to rehab 5 times at an average before you really are going to be well. You're finally going to get the whole picture. So how many times did it take you?
Yeah.
That's the magic question.
Still going?
No. Thank goodness.
I have 18 years clean now from coke completely. And 22 years from meth completely. So
awesome.
18 alcohol also. So, no, those 6 years, because those 6 years, I was really fighting for my life, and it was a blur because of the relapses being numerous. So So I'm going to say at least a dozen. But there was two times in there. One time I had a year. One time I had 6 months. Another time I had 9 months. So
wow,
there was times of really, you know, in there that I was fighting, and I thought I had it. And then, you know, something would come along, and God would be working in my heart, and I just didn't like it. And, you know, I, of course, it was everybody else's fault, not my own. And
yeah. Always.
So, but, you know, I'm glad to say that January of 1998, God had to get me swallowed by the belly of the jail. So I got clean in the belly of the jail. And when he vomited me out, you know, it's funny, I was in there for not even a week, still trying to get my head straight. And he began to tell me, I want you to have Bible studies every day. I'm like,
wow.
Lord, I'm trying to get my head straight right now. So, of course, he had his way, and I began to have Bible studies. And, the services in there went from like 10 people to where they were turning people away, because we had over 100 going by the time I was being released. So God used that time in there not only to restore me.
How long were you in there?
But to evangelize for 4 months.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah.
So even though you thought you weren't ready, even though you said, I'm trying to get my head around this, you know, just you're just trying to figure it out after a week and God's telling you you need to do this, you obviously were more straightened out than the people you ended up ministering to, which is, you know, that's how we never know, right? When God taps on your shoulder and he chooses all throughout the Bible, all throughout history, he always chooses the least of these, right? Like, you're like, why, God? Why me? And, you know, it's obvious. He wanted you. And this is really important to get this background here, but I think one of the things I want people to hear is what finally worked for you. What do you, and also, and this is kind of a two-prong question, and then because you work in the field now, which I want you to have time to talk about, and I also want people to have time to ask questions, but so what, two questions, why, what made you finally get it, do you think? And then also, how important is that transitional living time where you're clean and sober, you're detox, 60, 90 days, whatever, 6 months. How important is it, that year of rehabilitation, before you go back to wherever you were doing before in the exact same situation, in the exact same... So do you see what I'm asking? I'm trying to see what... I want people to get that... What happened to you? And maybe it was just supernatural, and maybe it didn't take you months. I don't know. I want to know that.
Sure. You know, through this all, as you can kind of see how it's very lengthy and very repetitive. I just was relentless, and you know, I said if I can't beat this, I'm going to die trying, because I really wanted to get sober.
Wow.
So finally, what happened when I had gotten released, and I said, you know, the Lord had put in my heart to go back to where I left and to, you know, get the blessing that comes with finishing. So I went back and I did that. And I did get the graduation certificate. I got blessed. And, you know, with the answer, because this is what I use, you know, every day. I mean, to help people get in to, you know, rehab and sober livings, and not only for a living, but it's something that I do that people, you know, it's just part of my life, my friends and acquaintances. And so it's the surrender factor, Robert and Donna. I had to come to the place where I finally surrendered my life.
Wow.
And I'm talking, you know, one day at a time. Because, see, I had triggers. I used to have a bad temper. So I had to get into therapy. I had to start digging at the whys. Why is Dean got a year clean, 9 months clean, 6 months clean, and then run back one day out of frustration or anger or hurt and throw away all that hard work that he put in? Well, the answer that I came up with was because of deep hurts, and some of it was self-inflicting, because God had set me free. God had, you know, given me promises and healing, but I had to embrace it. I had to walk in it. And so once I started to kind of confront my hurt, you know, growing up, confront some of the things that I was really carrying inside that were making me want to medicate, I started noticing that I wasn't getting that pull, you know, that I would get. It's literally, you get driven, you know, I felt driven to go and to use or drink, and just to kind of bury my feelings. That was the only way I knew how to deal with it. So once I started to confront it with the gospel and with scripture, you know, and then the love of God, I started to meditate on God's love and, you know, and surrendering to him. Next thing you know, 1 month led to two led to three. Then I came up to a year, 2 years. Then I started to say, man, I think this is it. I think we're going to do it, you know.
Wow.
So now I have 18 years.
That's so great. Like you said, one day at a time too, right? And just continue to surrender. And, you know, that's a message for anybody at any time. You don't have to be an addict to hear that. It's whatever we face in life. It's just you got to take, like you said, baby steps, and you got to just surrender, and you just have to keep looking to God. And sometimes as humans, we take it back again and say, no, we can fix this. But you have, mm-hmm. have to keep. Sometimes it's a daily practice, sometimes several times a day, sometimes several times an hour. Like if something's really bothering you, you just have to keep giving it over, giving it over, giving it over. You know, sometimes, this is kind of silly, but I think, Robert, I think you've heard me say this. A couple years ago, we live in this apartment upstairs. It's got all these glass windows in it. If we have all the drapes open, a couple people from across the way, if they're walking by, can see right in here. And obviously, we have them down at night. We have them down right now here by our table. But one night a couple years ago, I was struggling with something, you know, doesn't matter what it was, but I was pretty emotionally upset about it. And I remember I just started yelling at the top of my lungs, get behind me, Satan. Just get behind me. This is not of God. This is not good stuff. I am not going to think this way. You know, like, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And I was kind of like ranting and raving, running around in circles, and I looked up and my neighbor was walking by, kind of like, okay then, all righty then. But you know, like,
Is that the time we got that notice?
Yeah, that was the time we got the notice. But I mean, that kind of stuff works. It's that self-talk, and I call it surrendering to Jesus. But sometimes we have to do it over and over. And for me, personally, I guess because I like to talk, it works sometimes for me to, like, yell it out. Like, I could be in the car talking about it, and if I start going down the negative route or something, I go, nope. That and the deep breathing and the meditation and breathing in the love of Jesus and breathing out all the negative crap, you know, that we're all taught and hear every day, that stuff really works. So
that's one of the good things about doing it in the car. Driving down the car, you can sit there and sing, or you can shout, and
whatever you want.
And nobody knows. You can make all the noise you want inside your car. It's pretty soundproof, especially if you're driving down the freeway.
Yeah, it's very effective. But anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to make sure our listeners know that, you know, there's something to take away there, because you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be an addict. You don't have to be.
We got to let people ask some other questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're running out of time.
Losing
time.
This is so interesting.
If you want to ask Dean a question, all you have to do is press the star and 6, and you'll get in the queue, and we can get you up here. So I don't know if you could hear that, but the Q&A question just started, and Donna's shaking her head saying, they can't hear
it. Our guests can hear it, but nobody can.
Okay, nobody else can hear it. So anyway, press star 6, and you can ask a question.
Of Dean, of Robert, or myself.
Yeah, you can ask us. We're open books here. You can ask any question. It doesn't necessarily mean we can answer it, but you can always ask it. And we can talk about it, and we can discuss it. So, Dean, tell me about what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, for the last couple of years, I had a friend of mine that got hired at a private rehab. So I happened to be looking at the time, and so he gave me a great referral, and I was able to be hired. So I began to get into, because I'd only been involved in the faith-based for, you know, 20 years, 25 years. And so this is the insurance, you know, detox, RTC, PHP, you know, the whole insurance, mm-hmm. the 90-day, like you guys are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been taking kind of what I've learned in trying to, you know, be there and to help addicts and model it for them, saying, look, you guys, I want you, when you see me, I want you to see sobriety. When you see me smile, I want you to know it's because I'm sober another day. I'm always saying these things around these guys. I'm trying to get them, you know, it's like a taste, you know. Like the Bible talks about, you know, that God develops a taste in our palate, train up a child.
Mm-hmm.
you know, putting the date on the palate. That's, I'm kind of doing the same thing with them. I'm showing that, hey, being sober is cool. And, you know, I've really been able, and I've seen God use me to help, you know, change some of these. A lot of them are in their 20s, kids. I have a 27-year-old son.
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, it's just great to be around young addicts coming in. It mm-hmm. keeps me on my toes. And, you know, I have a lot of people that still write me or thank me. I get phone calls and whatnot. So,
Well, God's using you because that's your testimony. That's your testimony. So, of course, a young person would listen to you before they would listen to somebody that doesn't know, because you know, you've been there. So when you tell those people this and they look at you, you can speak with conviction and they can have that respect and knowing he knows where I am. He knows what, you know, he knows where I am and he knows what he's talking about because he's been there. You know, that's what's so beautiful about God allowing us to go through these tough times is we just become stronger, better people, and we become better witnesses to help others. And, you know, I believe that's why we go through things. Oh, we have a question here. So let me get this question, okay? Hi there.
Hi, good evening. I'm calling from Baltimore. This is Judy Ross.
Hi, Judy.
And I just want to say hi. I have a question. And that is, how did you get involved with the 12 steps? And did you find that they were successful for you?
Is that for Dean?
Yes, for Dean.
Okay, Dean, that's for you.
Hi, Judy. Thank you. Actually, yeah, I didn't mention 12 steps. The private company that I'm working for does provide that as one of their avenues. It's very effective. So I know that's one of the ways that people are getting help. Me personally, mine was faith-based. And so the program that I'm with now does have a 12-step. I've seen it effective. I've seen people go through it and are living a sober life, productive today.
Wonderful. I work in the field of addictions, and I want to pass this on. I have a little thing that I give to the individual who struggles with staying clean or sober or both. And it goes like this: just for today, I will not use or pick up or drink, whatever their habit is. And you only add two words to that, and it goes, maybe tomorrow. But you have to say it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that there was a very old woman in the program who told that to me, and it was 42 years ago, and tomorrow never came.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I remember we had a pastor in our church who he used to tell the story of a friend of his who had a bar, and it said, free beer tomorrow. And he never gave beer away because there was always free beer tomorrow. And so if it's always that way, it's always that way. And, you know, talking about the 12 steps, I like to summarize the first three steps in a real simple phrase that I share with people, and it's, I can't, which is what you talked about, Dean. You're powerless. I can't. He can. Let him. And that summarizes the first three steps, in my opinion, as far as how to deal with recovery and health. So, hey, thank you for calling in. And I want to thank you, Dean, for...
Thank you, Judy.
And I want to thank you, Dean, for being our guest today. And right now, I want to let you know that this is, in effect, a church service. We've had prayer, we've had scripture, we've had a little teaching time, we've had testimony time, and now it's our offering time. And so the way we collect an offering here is we can't pass a plate through the phone. But what we can do is just remind you that the way we collect our offerings is to ask you to go to the robertschulerministries.org and just go to and click on the donate button, and you can make your donations that way. That's how we support the ministry and all of our projects. And the good news is that we have the ability to get people in recovery in a 90-day program. It costs us about $1,000 to do that, but we can do that. And so we've been doing that, and it makes a huge difference in the lives of those individuals. Again, it's not a lot of people, but it's as many as we can, and we've been very successful in doing that whenever we can. So your donations are very helpful, and it makes a huge difference. So you'll find the donate button when you go to the robertshulerministries.org site. Again, that's robertshulerministries.org. And all you have to do, you'll see the donate button on the right side of the home page. And all you need to do is click on that button, and then you can follow the steps on how to do that. So
and if you like snail mail, you can do that too. We still do get snail mail. And our address is Robert Shuler Ministries, 919 Bayside, that's B as in boy, A-Y, Bayside Drive, Unit E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And your donations are tax deductible. We are a church. We're a 501c3, but more than that, we're a church. We're a ministry. So anything that you want to give is tax deductible. So we're almost ready to close here, Robert.
I want to say
a little bit about the podcast. So this call will be on our podcast by tomorrow. Typically, I download it tonight, and then it'll be loaded up on our podcast. And the address for that is Robert Shuler Ministries, and then you put a dot, and it's Podomatic, PODOMATIC.com, robertshulerministries.podomatic.com. Now, if that's confusing, you can just go to robertshulerministries.org. And there's a button on the side of our main website that will also take you to the podcast. And I also will be posting it on Facebook, on Robert's Facebook page, and on mine tomorrow. And Dean, for you, I will be sending you a copy. So you can post it on your page, and you can send it out to people. And the beautiful thing about the podcast, it's up there forever and ever and ever, and people can refer back to it, and we have all kinds of people listening to our podcast now, which is pretty cool. Even things that we recorded,
a lot of people,
you know, even some of Robert's
ago.
Old sermons from a few years ago. He's got some 10-minute sermons that are pretty powerful.
Well, unfortunately, our time is up, but again, we want to thank you, Dean, and we want to thank you all for listening.
Yes, thank you so
and
much
for calling in. And remember that next month, June 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. So if it's 6 p.m. on the 15th of any month, what time is it, Donna?
It's time for the call.
So tell anyone you know who could use some mid-month encouragement and who wants to learn more about themselves, others, and God, join us. We approach some great subjects and always from a Christian perspective.
Yep. So God loves you, so do we, and He is blessing you through all things and always. So.
Okay, until next time, God's blessing you. God loves you, so do we. Bye-bye.